Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What time is it, Mike?
Good morning. Good morning, America, and good morning to all my friends across this great universe. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson. It's a beautiful day, and it's a cold morning here in North Carolina. I invite you to come take a life-changing journey with me. It's no mistake that you've tuned in today. This is a divine appointment for someone out there listening today. Your life-changing moment is about to occur. Don't you dare touch that dial. Your miracle is around the corner. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you humbly this morning, asking you to hear and honor our prayers, asking you to bless this message, Father, to anoint it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, Father, that I speak the truth, only the truth, and that your people hear your voice, prepare their hearts to receive the truth. Open their ears, God, to hear you clearly. Father, their miracle is just around the corner. They're about to learn how to train the human spirit, Father, so that they can hear your voice and obey your word. Father, I thank you, God, for those that are lost this morning, that you are going to make a way for them to hear your word that will save and set the captive free. For those who have addictions out there, God, we call those addictions void and null in the name of Jesus. God, you are the healer. You are the healer of those people. There is hope in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Father, for our leaders all across this world, whether it's locally here in our city, whether it's statewide, whether it's all across America or all across this universe. God, you are the one who have placed these leaders in office. Father, I thank you that your perfect will be done in their lives, and they will be found pleasing before you, God. your will take place in every office that has opened up in this nation, in this universe. Father, we just thank you for our first responders. We thank you for our policemen, for our firefighters, for our EMSs. We thank you, God, for our military men and women who fight to keep this country free. God, bless them and keep their families safe. Keep them safe from all harm and help them to return home. Lord, we just thank you for everything that you're going to do this morning, that you're going to help us to know how to swim upstream against the world's current. You're going to help us to know how to train the human spirit to operate in God's will. We give you all the glory and all the honor for everything you're going to do in Jesus' precious holy name. And everybody out there says amen and amen. The message title this morning is Swimming Upstream Against the World's Current. And my text is coming from Romans 12 and 2. Now, there are so many times when we need to look at a familiar verse. Now, the ESV translation, the first part of Romans 12 and 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. So simple, so clear, and so very concise. But what exactly does Paul mean? Other translations bring our various shades of meaning. So do not act like sinful people. In other words, do not have a sinful lifestyle. That in this world, that's coming from the New Life Translation. Now, in other words, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Do not conform to this world, this age, fashioned after or adapted to its external, the amplified version. And don't copy the behavior and customs of this world found in the New Living Translation. And then there is a famous rendering by J.B. Phillips that goes like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. In this message, I want to do two things. First, I want to examine the little phrase to see what it means. And secondly, I want us to think together about how it applies to us today. Now, the general meaning is clear if we talk all of the different translations and paraphrases together. All Christians, saved people who live for God, we are not like the people around us, and we shouldn't act like them. We must not try so hard to fit in that we no longer think and act like Christians. The verse reminds us that the world is not morally neutral. It actually works against our Christian faith. Now, Christians, are you constantly swimming upstream with the currents of the world rushing against you? Don't be surprised. Don't give in, and don't get swept away. Now, I have two wrong in references. Here we go. Perhaps our greatest danger is to look at this command, which is entirely negative, and draw wrong in references from it. Now, listen intently with your heart, beloved. Listen to what God is trying to speak to you this morning. Number one, we might end up thinking Paul means to warn us against the external marks of the world. In another generation, preachers applied this verse to the big four sins. They used to say that the big four sins were drinking and smoking and dancing and gambling. Or it might have even been applied to a woman back in the day wearing lipstick, or men with long hair, or listening to certain kinds of music, or going to a movie theater. Sometimes the list of don'ts becomes so long that a Christian was defined by what you didn't do. While Christianity became reduced to a set of rules, in most cases, the warnings had some basics in fact. Now, although we don't hear the sort of preaching nowadays, I am not sure that dropping the rules that we used to follow has produced a new wave of holiness. Now, we need to be careful and not fall into legalism, of course, but we also must remember God is a holy God, and scriptures teach us that he requires us to be a godly example. We want our lives to speak to those who have no hope and draw people out of darkness into the marvelous light, always pointing them back to Jesus. And number two, we might think that Christians should withdraw the world around us and have nothing to do with it at all. Now, this might lead us into a monastery or to some isolated place in the wilderness or into a cave in the desert where we will not be tempted by the bright lights of the city, right? Hold on, my friends. But that cannot be what Paul meant, because he ministered in all the big cities of the day. Whatever not being conformed to the world means, it cannot be a call to run and hide. Now, I have two key words for you this morning. If this verse is not giving rules about outward behavior, or if it's not calling us to retreat from the world, what exactly is Paul warning us against? The two words unlock this text, my friends. Here's the first word. Number one, world. The word world does not refer to the ball of dirt that we live here on. As Paul means to say, don't enjoy the creation God had made. He's not talking about physical things such as beauty of a sunset or of a beautiful lake or the intricate design of some single human cell or the vastness of this universe. See, unless he is speaking of enjoying a concert or a conversation or having a good time with a friend or playing with your grandchildren or riding a bike, those are enjoyable things that we can do. Now, Paul does not mean to say don't enjoy life. He's not an ascetic who has us to reject all the beauty and all the goodness that we see around us, nor is he calling us to move away from the troubles of this world. Hold up in a compound, build a fence, buy a shotgun, or dare anyone to bother us. He's not doing that. To the contrary, Paul plunged into our heart culture of this day. Now, he focused on the majority of cities of the first century, Jerusalem and Antioch and Corinth and Athens and Rome, and fearlessly entered the synagogues and marketplace, the literature halls, and expressed purpose of proclaiming Christ where he was not yet known. Now, in the first letter to Timothy, he said, everything created by God is good, found in 1 Timothy 4:4. Then he added that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. That's found in 1 Timothy 6:17. But Paul eventually knew Greek and Hebrew, Latin and Aramaic. He read the secular poets and quoted them in his sermons and his letters. He knew the culture of his day so well that he could debate the pagan philosophers of Mars Hill. And that's found in Acts 17:16-34. And sometimes we like to sing. Now, this world is not my home. You remember that old song? I'm just passing through. That's true, but it's not the totality what the Bible teaches. I think Paul would agree with these lines by Mobit Baycock, which say, this is my father's world. The birds, the carols, the rays, the morning light, the lily white, declare their marketplace, declare the maker's praise. Do you remember this old song? This is my father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the resulting grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Do you remember that old song? So then what world is Paul warning us against? The New Testament uses two different words when it talks about the world. One is the word cosmos, from which we get our word cosmetic. That's the word John uses in 1 John 2:15-17 to warn us against loving the world. Now, Dr. Ryad defines the world as the organized system headed by Satan that leaves God out. times a radio announcer will say, here's the news from the world sport. Now here's talking about a planet where all they do is play baseball, football, or basketball. Now the world of sports refers to the organized system of an athletic endeavor. Or people may say, here's the news from the world of business. Again, that's not a planet where all they do is buy and sell and invest. The world of business is an organized financial system of buying and selling and investing. That there is an organized system headed by Satan that deliberately leaves God out. Christians must not love that evil world system. That's why the Holy Scriptures tells us not to conform to this world, but to be transformed through the renewing of the mind of God's Word that purifies and sanctifies our heart and our souls and our spirit man, which is the real person that we truly are. Now, that's very helpful, right? But Paul didn't use the Greek word cosmos in Romans 12 and 2. He uses a different word called ion, usually translated as age. Now, in the New Testament, there are two main ages, the present age of simple darkness found in Ephesians 2 and 2 and Galatians 1 and 4, from which we have been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the age to come when Jesus will reign on the earth, found in Revelations 11 and 15. Now, this text literally reads, don't be conformed to this age. Why? Because this age is coming to an end soon. And when it does, everything about this age will crumble to dust. 5 weeks after the terrorist attack of September 11th in 2001, we all remember that. And we all felt so hurt and brokenhearted, right? Well, I recently read an article and studied it about four men at Ground Zero in Manhattan. And their eyes were so fixed on the twisted smoke rooms of the World Trade Center. As they looked at that rubble, they felt the Lord speaking to them. Just as I did when I was reading this article, our Lord was speaking to my spirit man and saying, Sherry, pay attention. This is what the world is coming to. Now, I realize how true it was. That is what happens to everything that man builds. Only God is external. The twin towers seemed invincible, right? But they weren't, because anything built by man can be destroyed by man. More than that, anything built by man can be destroyed by the hand of God. Read the book of Revelation. Now, in the end, everything comes crumbling down. Here is the paradox and challenge of Romans 12 and 2. Now, we live in this present age, but this present age will not last forever. We know there is a better age to come when Christ will reign on the earth. We must live today by the values of tomorrow. We must live in the present age, but this present age must not live in us. Now, my precious friends, here is the second word, conform. The word conform translates a complex Greek word from which we get the English word scheme, which is the negative sense. It has an idea of a trap. Now, those, like those email scams from someone in Nicaragua promising you $10,000. Come on, wake up. That's a big red flag. When they ask you to send your bank account number, wake up, people. You never do that. Now, since the devil is the god of the world, found in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, we should expect him to attack from every angle. Now, most of these traps he sets are meant to seduce us into the world's way of thinking. This present age, this simple world system, must not live in us, my friends. The world also means to fashion. A.T. Robertson offers this version. This is what he says. Do not take the world as your fashion plate. Why does Paul say that we are not to follow the fashions of the world? Is he talking about how we dress? Well, that's included, but he's thinking much broader than that. Can you hear? Can you think about what Paul is really trying to say to us? Open your spirit, open your hearts today, and listen to what he's trying to teach us. We are not to think or act or otherwise fashion ourselves after the schemes of this age. Why did he say that? Answer is so simple. It is so simple. This world is dying. This essential of worldliness, then it is to live as if the age will last forever. True worldliness buys into the notion that this world is the only world there is or ever will be. Years ago, a certain beer commercial advertised, it announced, you only go around this life once. Grab all the gusto you can get. Grab all the gusto you can get. Do you remember that? Is that familiar to you? On one level, that happens to be good advice. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, my friends. You won't get the second chance or do it over. You won't. If you mess up, my friends, on this short time that you have on planet Earth, underlining the commercial was it was absolutely unstated. It was unstated premises. The world system, the society today tells us this life is the only life there is. So do whatever you want. Indulge yourself. Throw aside the restraints. This is where we must be very careful. We do not have a license to sin. Yet the world says, do whatever you want. Do whatever makes you feel good. No, that's absolutely wrong. This, my friends, is a lie, a total deception. Satan always mixes lies with truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I have friends and family. My niece got married. She got married in Las Vegas. Her name's Summer. While they were flying through Las Vegas on the way to Reno to get married, as the plane began to descend into Las Vegas, they could see the famous casinos lined up next to each other. The Lorax, the MGM Grand, the Mirage, an apt name for casino. Yes, that's right. And the Wynn Caesars Palace. And the Stratosphere, with its tower rising 1,000 feet above the desert floor, she said it was unbelievably beautiful, gorgeous. But sin always is. Sin is always, that's how he draws us into sin. He makes it beautiful. He makes it look glorious. He makes it look like that is the answer to everything, right? That's the way Satan works. That's how he sets many traps. But my niece was telling me how beautiful it was. So I wanted to kind of show you this little example so you can understand where I'm trying to take you. So when they got off the plane and they walked through the terminal, they saw slot machines everywhere. There were huge signs advertising big stars who were coming to Las Vegas and other signs inviting you to club after club. Las Vegas is built on the premises that you can do whatever you want, anytime you want, with whomever you want, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know that old saying? More than you should. Drink until you are drunk. Gamble until you're broke. And you can indulge your flesh in every way that your mind can possibly imagine. Now, eventually, business is good because the plane was filled with people coming there to Sin City to have some fun and maybe get lucky on the way there. Well, listen up. Let's make this very clear. I do not mention that to condemn anyone. I say it again. I do not mention that thing to condemn anyone. Facts are facts. Not even the people who own those large casinos. They couldn't stay in business if people didn't want what they had to offer. Vegas simply provides an extreme example of what this age is all about. It's the ultimate, unvarnished appeal to life as to there is no tomorrow. To live as if there is no world called sin, and that people believe there will be no consequences for their lifestyle? That's wellness, living today as tomorrow will never come. That's not true. But according to Revelations 12 and 22, the scripture says when Christ returns to this earth for his bride, the church, the people that are truly saved, he brings his rewards with him. And listen up. To repay people for the way that they have lived their lives, good or bad. Now, there are paths of glory and paths of self-destruction. If you think this world will last forever, then go on. Just go on. Live it up. Live by the world's rules. But if you think that there is a better world coming, then live today in light of tomorrow. In light of God's word. In light of his will for your life. In light of the very purpose that he created you for. Because consequence day will come, my friend. Your friends probably won't understand you, and it won't always be very easy. And you'll often feel very squeezed. But at least you won't wake up with a hangover that comes from getting drunk on the ways of this world. This is why Christian people who love God and serve him have a relationship with him, and they swim upstream against the world's current on a daily basis. But they fight it. They don't give in. They don't give up. They keep pressing toward the high calling of that mark that God has called them to. They are set apart people. Listen, the Bible says that they are peculiar. They live in a relationship with Jesus, not dead religion, which has no power. Dead religion says in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from such turn away. They will appear to have a godly lifestyle, but they will not let its power change them. In other words, they have mental assent, head knowledge, his word, but his word has never dropped to their heart and become a divine revelation. So they only have head knowledge that has no power. No power. That's why they can't change. But the thing is, we can't change ourselves. We have to allow God to change us. We have to ask him to change us. We can't just continue to live the way that we live and expect that God should open the pearly gates for us. It's just not going to happen, my friends. And I'm sorry that I have to be the voice that tells you the truth this morning. But that is what my business is. It's to tell you the truth so that you have an open invitation to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you have the opportunity to repent of your sins and ask him to come into your life. Woo! I'm preaching myself happy over here. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Now, number two, in the end, every man's buildings will collapse before his own eyes. A friend sent me an email containing these lines from a poem called Gray's Elegy, written in a country church yard in England. I just recently got this a couple of days ago. This is so awesome. It's the boast of Harold Dry and the power and all that beauty, all that wealth ever could have awaits alike the invadable hour, the path of glory led by the grave. Now, according to 1 John 2 and 17, the world is passing away along with its desires. Indeed, the best and the brightest of us will someday die. And all that we do eventually will be forgotten. Now, consider these next two sentences very carefully. Listen intently with your heart, my friend, because you are his beloved. I heard Merlin Hickey say just last night that God calls us his beloved over 60 times in the Bible. So we are his beloved. Now, those who look to the world for evil will be disappointed because the best things of this world must one day disappear. Those who look to Father in our relationship with Him. We walk in faith and God's perfect will for our life. This is when you, as a child of God for Christ, swims upstream against the world's currents. And you don't care what the world says. Only what is important to you is what Christ thinks, what His will is for your life. Because one day, my friends, we will stand before an almighty God and we will account for everything we've ever done, everything we've ever said. Will you stand before Him as a tree with no leaves, no fruit? Or will you have taken the time to retrain your human spirit by the word of God? Because that's the only way. We cannot do it alone. God is our helper, and He sent us our helper, the Holy Spirit. I'm pleading to you this morning, begging you to hear the truth, to receive the truth, and act upon it. You see, that's the action word right there. Act upon it. Because you see, if you just hear it, it becomes what I said a few minutes ago, mental assent, and never becomes divine revelation, and it's never applied to your life. And therefore, God's perfect will never take place in your life. You just go on day by day by day, deceiving yourself and thinking yourself that you are prepared. Never, ever walking in by faith in what He has called you to do. And one day when you stand before God, He's going to show you exactly what you were called to do and you didn't do. That's the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I will leave you with this final thought. Christians don't fit in with this world, and we never will. We are fools if we make conformity the goal of our life. I ran across a fascinating quote from the legendary shock rocker Alice Cooper, and though you may not have heard of this news, he becomes a Christian some years ago, and his quote is found, and it says like this: drinking beer is very easy. Trashing your hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, now that's a real tough call, and it is a challenge. But you don't walk alone. He walks with you. That's where you become successful, when He walks with you. When He walks with you, my friends, that's when you become successful as a Christian. Don't keep rebelling. Give in. Say yes to Christ. He's waiting with open arms for you. Yes, you. You know who you are today. You feel that call on your life. You feel His presence right where you are. Whether you're sitting, whether you're lying down, whether you're just walking around the room pacing because you know that you're hearing the truth before you this morning. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, Alice Cooper, he was right on all accounts. It's a lot easier to get drunk and fool around than it is to follow Jesus Christ. You won't be a true rebel against the status quo, because a disciple of Christ makes Him the Lord of his life. You'll be going against the flow every single day, swimming against the world's current, because you want your life to be salt and earth to this world, a dying and lost world, my friends. Don't forget, we live in a lost world, a broken body, but God is the answer. God is the answer for us to achieve everything that He has already put on the inside of us. Jesus said that we are to want to be living examples of Christ, to want to be the one that points people back to Him. That's when you make a difference. One can truly make a difference. Oh, yes, one can make a difference. So let me say it another way. The world has no quarrel with a compromising Christian. The world loves believers who go along to get along. It rewards Christians who look like everyone else, talk like everyone else, and live like everyone else. If you keep quiet about your faith, you can get along just fine, because the world loves a compromising Christian. But if you dare or what you believe, you'll end up like Meshach. Woo! Shadrach and Abednego from the Bible. You'll be standing while everyone else is kneeling. Nebuchadnezzar won't like you very much. Soon enough, you'll discover how hot the fiery furnace can be. But the good news is Jesus is with you in that fiery furnace. That's where he makes himself known to you. That's where you become firm and you stand on that ground. And when all else is gone and Satan comes in like a flood, God raises a standard and you stand. You'll never regret standing up for Jesus, but it won't be easy. And my question to you this morning, my beloved friends, is who wants to be a renegade for the Lord? And who wants to swim upstream against the world's current? And who wants to go against the flow? Who? Is it you? Is it you, my friend? Let's talk about an alternative lifestyle. And I'm on the go of this message, but listen up. As I bring this conclusion to this message, your heart is so important. I read it, this other article about a man named David Wise. At the Winter Olympics in 2014, he won the gold medal for a free life skiing in the half pipe competition. Now, he earned a second gold medal in the same event in 2018. He was 29 years old at the time, married and had a daughter and a son. He also became a Christian. There are Christians in many denominations across this world. Yes, there are. After winning his first gold medal in 2014, NBC reporter Skylar Ryder wrote this. David Wise is at the top of his sport. He always is smiling among his friends and his competitors. However, he's not like the rest of the world. He's not like the rest of the field. He's mature. My precious friends, following Christ is the ultimate alternative lifestyle. The profile describes David Wise this way. At such a young age, Wise has the lifestyle of an adult. He wears a baby Bourjois baby carrier around the house. He also attends church regularly, and he says that he could see himself becoming a pastor a little later down the road somewhere. Now, NBC posted the article with this headline, David Wise, alternative lifestyle leads to Olympic gold. Why? Because God was behind what he was doing. He was with him. Is God with you this morning? Is he behind what you're doing? Did you get that, my friends? The alternative lifestyle. Today, that usually refers to something else, but it perfectly fits Romans 12 and 2. Following Christ is the ultimate alternative lifestyle. We're not like the world. We never were, and we never will be. God calls us to be set apart so others will see Jesus in our lives and desire to know him and invite him into their hearts. Some of us need to get our priorities straight because we're fighting. And when we need to stand out, woo! We are fighting and we are just sitting in. But he's called us to stand out. We're going with the flow when we ought to be swimming up. How will we overcome our addiction to this dying world? In 1918, Helen Haworth Limmel wrote the words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and in the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Do you remember that old hymn, my friends? It got me through many days. I hope that it's getting you through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. In these words, you desire the things of God and not the things of the world. Here's the answer. We need a new vision of Christ to set us free from the love of this world. Our evangelical ancestors understood this truth very well. and they boiled it down to two simple sentences. Here's my whole message in a simple couplet. Christians keep swimming up against the world's current. You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you, and you will mature in your relationship with Him. And you will become driven every day more and more toward eternity. Woo! You'll walk out your faith in God's will for your life when you do this. And when your earthly journey is complete, you will be the one who has made the difference. You are a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will ever last, my friend. This world is passing away. Don't be swept away with it. Keep swimming upstream with Jesus. This is what I pray for you this morning. Hear it, my friends. Hear it. Hear it with your heart. Hear it with a call of Jesus. Father, sometimes we get weary and we're swimming against the tide. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the power of the world around us. But we're seduced, we're squeezed, we're in a tight place. Sometimes we give in. Open our eyes, Lord. Do whatever it takes to break our addiction to this dying and lost world and replace it with fervent love from you, Father. That is my prayer for you this morning. God does everything in you that He's already put on the inside of you. But you have to be willing. You have to say yes. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force you to do anything that you don't want to do. God wants you to love Him. God wants you to come to Him. And that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. We must train our human spirits on a daily basis like this to swim against the world's ways. Don't be conformed to this lost and dying world, but be everything that God calls you to be. Be transformed by the renewing of God's word. And here's the last part of my message. It's so easy to train the human spirit, right? Because when we simply get up in the morning, we brush our teeth. We take a bath at night, and we dress ourselves to go to work. We can do that the same way with God's word. It's that simple. We train ourselves to do those things, and we can train ourselves in the word of God. And we can train ourselves to be pleasing before God. It's that simple. But we must fight the flesh, and we must do it on a daily basis and be with perseverance and consistency, or it won't happen. We must train that human spirit to obey our Father. You just don't get in the pearly gates because you said, well, I accept Jesus. Because you have to. There is consequences, my friends. And you will stand before Him one day. Will you be the one that He says, come on in, faithful, loyal servant? Or will you be the one, and I hate to say it, that He says, you did it your way. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I pray that that's not you this morning. My heart's desire, and the reason I do this every Saturday morning is because I love people and I love their souls, and I want the very best for them. And I pray that you accept Jesus Christ. If you have not done that today, I ask you to pray a simple prayer with me, a sinner's prayer that will lead you to repentance. You will repent of your sins, and God will come into your heart. So pray this prayer with me. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, I come humbly before you this morning. I know that I am lost and I am undone, that I am a sinner without a Savior. Father, I ask you in the holy name of Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me and to change me and to stir up those desires that you have put inside of me, to stir up those gifts that you have called me to do in the holy name of Jesus. Change my life. Set me on the right track. Father, I thank you for hearing that prayer. And I thank you for saving me this morning and washing me clean as white as snow. Thank you, God, for honoring that prayer. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, if you said that prayer with me this morning, you are now a new creation. The old man is dead and washed away. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome, my friends, to the family of God. You now are a child of God, and he has written your name in the Lamb's book of life. I am so glad that you have made that decision. And Jesus is so glad that you came home, that the angels of heaven are having a party on your behalf. So if you have heard this message and you loved it, please don't keep it to yourself this morning. Share it with your loved ones and your friends and family and your coworkers. Download it and share it with everybody. This is the gospel, and the gospel can save lives. Always remember, God loves you so much. He's never against you, and he's always for you, my friends. Victory is yours today. God bless you. Swim upstream against the current. God will be right there with you. So stand. Stand until he comes back for you. In the name of Jesus, God bless you until we meet again.